Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's good to be here. It's good to have this opportunity once again to be in the presence of God. And we, as we always do before we start a worship service, we're going to pray because we do need the Lord's help so very much. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for thy call, thanking thee, O God, for all thy promises, for thy gift of salvation, and we thank thee, O God, that we can come before thee and worship thee here this night. We pray, O God, for thy presence to be here this night. We pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Let thy Spirit flow here today. We pray, O God, that thy Spirit would have free course here today. Let there be no hindrances here today. We ask, O God, that we'd all be set upon thee. Let our minds be focused on thee completely, 100%. Help us, O God, to worship thee. Give us the desire to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We ask for thy blessing here today. Let each and everything we do this night be pleasing in thy sight. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start with number 91 in the chorus book here tonight, Without Him, number 91. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 84 and sing I Need Jesus, number 84. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Him in the sunshine hour. I need Him when the storm clouds lower. Every day along life's way, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Him in the sunshine hour. I need Him when the storm clouds lower. Every day along life's way, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Him in the sunshine. I need Him when the storm clouds lower. Every day along life's way, I need Jesus. Praise the Lord, thank you, God. We need Him so very much. And, you know, we live in a world that is full of frustrations, and we wonder sometimes, how can things be like this, and what is the point of it all? But because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Praise God. Let's turn to number 98 and sing Because He Lives, number 98. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. Is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because He lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, truth he lives. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, yes. We know that He lives. We know that He's alive. We know that He lives in us. And we know that there is no one like our God. There's no power, no force, no being, no intellect greater than our God. He is the most awesome and powerful source in this entire universe. And His greatness does fill this universe. In fact, we can't even fully describe how great He is, but we can sing about it a little bit. We're going to turn to number 40 right now and sing, Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, number 40. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's look across the page and sing number 34. How great is our God? Number 34. How great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He will back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with trust in me. How great is our God? How great is His name?
the mighty Red Sea, and he said, I'll go with you to put your trust in me. Praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's an amazing thought, isn't it, that the creator of the universe, the most powerful being in existence, could come and live inside our hearts. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to turn now to number 180 and sing, Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Number 180. Greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it. I'm gonna let the world know. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it too. Greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized with a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the world know. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. in me than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. Thank the Lord. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank you, O God, for all thy abundant blessings and thy love and thy care towards us. O Lord, we know that we are not worthy of thy consideration, but we are so thankful that thou hast loved us and cared for us for all these years. We are so thankful and appreciative of thy blessings, knowing full well that we would be completely helpless and lost without thee. We thank thee for thy sustaining power and thy mercy and grace, and we pray that thou would continue to lead this ministry by thy mighty hand. Help us to know what to do in the days ahead, for we do not know the future, but we know that thou knowest all things, and we pray, O God, for thy continued blessings. We pray for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the cause of thy holy name. We pray, O God, that thou bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to sing one more song, and there's just one that's on my mind tonight. We haven't sang it for a little while, but I just need to look up the number here, and it's number 178. His name is wonderful, number 178. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. The great shepherd, the rock of all ages, almighty God, is he. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Going to turn this over to Shirley in just a moment, but before we do that, why don't we go ahead and pray for Diane one more time, and I see you're sitting in the back there. Hopefully you're a little more comfortable back there, but I'm not used to that, so we're going to pray for you one more time and ask for God's healing touch. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer once again on behalf of our dear sister Diane, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven, praying, O God, that thou would give her great strength, and praying, O God, that thou would give her great healing. We ask, O God, that thou would take this arthritis away, heal it completely, let this pain subside completely. We pray also that thou would take her diabetes away, take away every health condition she may be battling right now. We pray, O God, that thou would touch her, heal her, and deliver her, O God, for we know that nothing is too hard for thee. We know that by thy stripes we are healed. We embrace thy promises, and we pray, O God, that thou would touch her right now. Let thy healing virtue flow, we pray. We ask, O God, that thou would reach her down from heaven. O God, reach down from heaven and touch her, we pray. We ask, O God, for this blessing to come now, even now, and we pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I see also that there's a yellow light on this lavalier. I'm not sure if we have more batteries up here or not. Otherwise, if it's only yellow, it should probably be okay. It's just when it gets to be red, that's when it's a cause for concern. Oh, I see them out here, actually. Okay. Well, good, I found one. Praise the Lord. Now, we usually change it when it's yellow because you never know when it might turn red. So it just seems to make sense to do that. Praise God. Whoops. All right. And we have a green light again. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we're all set now. We're going to turn this over to Shirley and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise God.
Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Oh, praise our God. If you know, wow, it's just us very few, but you know God is here. And I've been feeling His presence. I know He's here, you know. He's here to meet our needs, to change the things that need to be changed, and, you know, to give us faith, to inspire us. And, oh, wow, we're so privileged to know the living God. Oh, to be able to draw nigh unto Him and oh, yes, to hold on to His promises. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to talk to the Lord here tonight before we begin and ask Him to be in this service. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again that we can draw nigh to You, Lord, that we have this privilege to open up Your Word. Oh, this gift that we've been given, oh, Lord, so many things that You've blessed us with, Lord. And, oh, God, we just pray that You would be here, Lord. Oh, God, that You would speak to us. Oh, God, that You would reassure us, Lord, that You put faith in our hearts. Oh, God, that we would not stumble at Thy word, Lord. Oh, God, that we would not give up, oh, Lord. Oh, God, but that we'd hold on tight to Thy promises and to Thy word. Oh, God, knowing that, oh, Lord, as long as we're in the flesh, that we're going to have to fight. But, Lord, I pray, oh, God, that You'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd guide us. To put it within us, God, to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on to eternal life, Lord. Oh, God, to have it resolved in our hearts that we're going to serve You, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that there'd be nothing between You and us, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that our hearts would be clear and right, oh, God, and I pray that You'd use this word. Oh, God, that You'd bind the strong man in everything, oh, Lord, that tries to interfere, God, come against all the interferences of the world. And, oh, God, all the causes, oh, Lord, that come from the enemy, Lord. But, oh, God, we know that Thou art God. Thou changest not, and there is none like unto Thee, Lord. Oh, God, we give this service over to You, Lord. We ask You to direct it. We ask You to move, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we ask that You would intervene, Lord. Oh, God, put faith in our hearts. Let Your will be done, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that You'd work here, Lord. Oh, God, that Your arm would, oh, be extended here in our midst, oh, Lord, that Your presence would be here in our midst, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that You'd help us, Lord, as we draw nigh to You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Thank our God. Just believe in the Lord here, and He's going to be here to help us. Oh, we've been fighting battles, I'll say. Oh, my. I think we're going to have a prayer meeting. Because, boy, oh, boy, it's been something else. But God is with us. You know, if God be with us, who could be against us? He never promised us an easy road. You know, He didn't say now that you're serving Me, it's going to be simple Simon, so to speak. But no, we have to fight. And, you know, He's going to use adversity. He's going to use suffering to get us to be at that place where He wants us to be. Oh, my. Lord willing, we are going to be in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter tonight, but right before I go there, I'd like to just preface with a few other scriptures. Praise the Lord. It seems like this chapter, 1 Peter 4, is a lot about the need for us to suffer as the children of the Lord, to suffer adversity and you know, to suffer persecution. And, you know, this isn't, you know, something that we in the flesh like to hear. But I think as we read this scripture, I think we'll kind of understand why it would necessarily need to be. So praise the Lord. As we begin here tonight, let's go to 2 Timothy, the third chapter here. One verse here, as far as I know. Well, let's start with verse 10. That will be just a little better, I think. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 10. It says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Now, isn't that beautiful? You know, and we know there's a great list of the things that Paul suffered in his journeys as he did the work of the Lord. But, you know, for him to say, "Out of them all, the Lord delivered me." What a positive confession. Praise the Lord. And then he says in verse 12, "Yea, and all they are all that live." Okay. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So it's not that it's a strange thing. And of course, that's going to be emphasized in 4th chapter, 1 Peter. But, oh my, here Paul is telling us, just reminding us, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Let's also turn to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. And here he's saying, I suppose we could start with the first verse just to get a running start here. It says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Oh, that's a positive thing, isn't it? Oh, about this church that was in Thessalonica. And then it says in verse 4, "So that we ourselves glory," or in other words, boast, "in you in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." See, it wasn't just Paul. Here this church at Thessalonica also was known for what it had suffered. But yet through it, he's noting that their patience and their faith obviously took them through those persecutions and those tribulations that they endured. Praise the Lord. And then it says in verse 5, interesting, "which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you." And of course, that day is coming back when God is going to come back to judge this world. And oh my, here it describes it. It says in verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." Oh, praise the Lord, that day that the Lord is coming back. You know, I don't know why it is, but when I see clouds in the sky, it makes me think of the coming of the Lord. And, you know, he might come when there's no clouds at all. So I'm not sure why I have to think of it that way. But there were these beautiful white clouds in the sky today. And I noticed, you know, there were a group of them, and then there was like a kind of a hole in the middle. And, you know, sometimes you just can imagine, you know, that the Lord is suddenly going to appear there in the sky, there, our Savior, you know, that moment that we have long awaited. But, you know, for us who have faith in God and have hope, have held fast, it's going to be a glorious event. And, you know, He's going to come with His church and with the mighty angels. It describes it here in 2 Thessalonians, his first chapter. But oh yes, He's coming to bring judgment in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And oh my, not good, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Oh, I don't want to be in that category, no, at all. Oh my, those that have not obeyed the gospel, that know not God, who haven't given heed to this glorious gospel. But, you know, thank God He has tugged at our heart, and we have seen through all the deception of this world. And here we are tonight. Praise the Lord, yes. You know, that church at Thessalonica had already suffered some things, but God had helped them. God had given them the patience to endure it, the faith that they needed in all their persecutions and tribulations. And praise the Lord, if He did it for them, I know He could do it for us. And you know, it's not an unusual thing to suffer persecution or tribulation, it says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Oh, it's to be expected in this world that we live in at the moment. But I'll tell you what, it's going to end. One of these days we're going to be on the other side. It's going to be over. But here we are, the great need to endure until the end. Oh, yes, by the grace of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's also look at Romans for a moment. Romans, the 5th chapter. And here Paul is also writing. And here he says in verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So, you know, this may seem strange, you know, to glory in tribulations. But, you know, there's an end to these hard things that we endure. It tells us here that tribulation worketh patience. You get patience out of tribulation. That church at Thessalonica, they were commended for their patience, for their faith. Obviously, they had gone through some tribulation. And not only so, that patience gives us experience. And that experience gives us hope. Hope. Hope in a world that's beyond. Hope in the Lord Jesus. Hope in His promises. That hope maketh not ashamed. We're going to hang on to that hope. It's something, oh yes, that is going to pay a great dividend at the end. That hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, the love of God that comes to abound in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's now go to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 4. And oh my, here's Peter talking. We read those verses that had been written by the inspiration of God, by Paul. But now these are Peter's writings. through the inspiration of God. Verse 1, 1 Peter the 4th chapter. For as much sin as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Well, let's just stop here a moment. And, you know, Peter is saying, you know, now let's go back. Christ Jesus, he suffered for us in the flesh. Oh, yes. How did he? Oh, my. My did he. On that cross, taking our sins and all the other things. Oh, yes. That came with it. So then, Peter is saying, arm yourselves. In other words, brace yourselves. If Jesus had to suffer in the flesh, then you think you're going to escape? I'm paraphrasing. But he says, arm yourselves likewise. You know, prepare, you know, with the same mind. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You know, we talked about how to glory in tribulations. Because, you know, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and all that. You know, but now he's saying, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. There's something about it, you know. The things in life that are hard are often the very things that bring us close to Jesus Christ. You know, to whom else can you go? Oh, yes, when, you know, the enemy is coming down as a flood. Oh, yes, when trials and tests are overwhelming you, to whom else could you go? Where else can you go? And I'll tell you what, it brings us to our knees. It brings us to that place where we have to call upon the Lord with all our heart. And oh, my, there's a purifying process that goes with that. The Lord knows what we need. Oh, yes, because He's a holy God. And the thing that, as I have said many times, oh, people don't get, but sin isn't going to enter into heaven. So there is a process that needs to go on in our inner being to change us. We come to Jesus as we are. We're sinners. You know, we've done all kinds of things. And, you know, we had to bow our knee. We had to come to Him and realize that we needed Him and cry out and give our hearts over to Him. Oh, yes, repenting, turning from our past, all those things that we had done, giving them over to the Lord. Oh, it was so necessary. But, oh, it began a process where we loathe sin, where we hate and despise sin. It begins to grow in us, you know. And, oh, yes, we realize, oh, yes, how desperately we need, oh, yes, to turn everything over to the Lord and let Him work in our lives. Let Him change us. Let Him alter our thinking and everything else, so that we can be made over in the image of Jesus Christ. That's a tall assignment. We come to Him, as I said, we are in our sinful, willful, disobedient nature. But that reconstruction begins, the Lord working in us to remake us and to make us His own child, so that one day we can stand before Him without sin, without guile, or without any impurities, to be holy and blameless in spite of, oh yes, a world that is so distracting and full of sin. But yes, the Lord in His mercy and with His purpose, He's allowing these things, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. See, He's changing us. Otherwise, we just go on our same old wicked course. You know, if sin was, you know, going to get us into heaven, well, why would we change? You know, we just go on living to the lust of the flesh, just like most everybody else does. That carnal mind that is enmity with God. But instead, oh, yes, that we should no longer live the rest of the time in the flesh to the lusts of men, it tells us in verse 2, but to the will of God. Oh, yes, to please the Lord, to live according to His precepts, His ways, to put on His nature, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, for in the time past of our lives may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Oh, yes, we all have that past. And I'll tell you what, oh, it's nothing to be proud of, is it? But here he's describing, you know, some of the characteristics of sinful living, you know, lasciviousness, that lewd, lustful lifestyle, wantonness, and all of that sort of thing. Lasciviousness and lust, oh boy, the way of mankind to walk in his own ways, you know, after his own passions, after his own cravings, all of that sort of thing. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, you know, that's how most people live. But oh my, the Lord works on us because those lusts are not going to get us into heaven. Oh, we are not to love the world, are we? Neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is not of the Father, is it? But it's of the world. And oh my, those things, those conditions, those characteristics are not going to get us into heaven, are they? So we once walked in that, and it says excess of wine. Oh my, how many people are alcoholics? How many people drink to their heart's content? And that it talks about revelings, and oh my, that Mardi Gras spirit, you know, that merrymaking, boisterous, immoral type of festivities that so many people are engaged in, that sinful kind of festivities. Oh my, think of things like Mardi Gras. I mean, these days we have these horrendous gay pride parades all over the world where people are parading all their sinful sodomite nature. Oh, I'll tell you what, there could be hardly anything worse than that, could there be? I don't know. It seems like there continually are worse and worse things in this world. But oh my, how many people are walking in that way after that kind of revelings. And then it talks about banqueting, wild parties, you know, music and drugs and sex and alcohol and all those kind of things that people revel and banquet in and all relish. That's the way of the world. And then it talks about abominable idolatries, all things that people bow down to, the things that their hearts are given over to. It might be an image, it might be an idol, it might be a picture, it might be a movie star. Oh my, there are so many things that people idolize, that they give their hearts over to. Oh my. But they are abominable. Oh, terribly disgusting in the eyes of Almighty God. Oh, yes, and those kind of things do not enter into heaven. Oh, my, those things need to go if we're trying to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I like the way it says it in 1 Corinthians 6, too. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, tells us very clearly, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, the list is even extended a little bit here. Oh, to catch all those various things. And then Paul wrote here in this sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that, how the Lord takes us out of the world. Oh, in all our rottenness, all our perverted thinking, all the despicable things that we have done, He takes us out of the world. And He washed us in His blood. Praise the Lord. We were washed in the waters of baptism likewise. And yes, we were sanctified. It means that we were made holy in the sight of the Lord. And yes, He justified us. Oh, yes, He put His seal of approval. He baptized us not only with the water baptism, but with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, that seal of God, so that we could be justified, made just in the eyes of Almighty God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how could we ever thank Him enough for what He has done? Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Back here in 1 Peter 4, verse 4. It talks about them that are without in this verse. It says, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." Oh, I'll tell you, people like company and they're evil, don't they? It's pretty hard when somebody is rocking the boat and somebody won't go along with their sin, the naughtiness, all those despicable things that they try to do, all their partying and all their, alcohol and all their drugs and all their other wicked things that they do. But they like to have company, don't they? I'm not sure how it was in the garden, Obviously, the serpent was the one that he beguiled Eve initially, but, pretty hard to be alone, I guess, and that, and I don't know what kind of persuasion she used on Adam, but, pretty soon he also became a partaker in that same sin, didn't he? But that's the way it is. People want, to be popular. They want to, maybe be the life of the party and everything else, and that means going along with all kinds of ungodly things. In many, many cases, doesn't it? But, they don't like it so well when, somebody doesn't go along with all of that. Maybe walks out or maybe rebukes them for their dirty language or dirty, ways of thinking, whatever. Oh, they don't like that, do they? And that, that way that they try to make you then edge you out, make you uncomfortable because you are a conscience to them. If you're not walking in those same evil ways, you're standing out against their sins and you're a conscience to them. And they don't like that. And they think it's strange, You might have been with them at one point. You might have walked with them and partied with them and banqueted with them and did all those kind of things, met at the bar and, sat with them and did those same excessive, nasty things that people do. But praise the Lord when He intervenes in our lives and He begins that process of changing us. So those desires are no longer there, that refinement that He does so that, yes, as we said, so we can stand in His sight. But oh, they're going to speak evil of God's people. But there is that day, when it won't matter how much we suffered here on this earth. That's not going to matter what we had to endure as a Christian because, there's that accounting day that's coming. Oh, yes, it says in verse 5, "Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" Oh, that day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. to give an account of the deeds that were done in the body. You know, it's quite interesting there in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. It describes this. It says in verse 9, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 9, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." See, you know, most people aren't going to be accepted of the Lord Jesus at that judgment seat. And it explains in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." In verse 11, oh, listen to this. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." Oh, that side of God that people don't want to think about. The terror of the Lord when he comes. Oh, yes, to avenge himself in this world, to judge this world in righteousness. Knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing that he's going to come. He's going to come and not tarry. And we're all going to stand before him to give him an account of our lives. For the things that were done in our body, we persuade men, it says. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Oh, that revealing, made manifest, revealed unto God. But oh yes, we know the other side. We know that he is coming to judge the quick and the dead. All those that are alive and those that are dead, all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh yes, and it tells us in Hebrews the 9th chapter, verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Oh, praise the Lord. The bride of Jesus Christ is looking for him. Oh, yes, to come, to appear the second time. And they're living a life without sin unto salvation. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, very clear. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after that is the judgment. But praise the Lord, there was one who intervened in our lives. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh my, it's going to be so worth it when we see Jesus. Oh, it's going to be so beautiful to hear him say, "Well done," and to realize it wasn't our own righteousness. It was nothing that we could do of ourselves, but he had mercy on us. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on to explain here in 1 Peter the 4th chapter, verse 6. Oh, you see, God knowing, having it all in mind, knowing very perfectly what, you know, was going to follow the plan that was foreordained from the foundation of the world. It says in verse 6, "For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to man in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." And we read, I didn't elaborate too long on the verse in 1 Peter 3 last week, but it also goes along with this. It tells us how in verse 19 of 1 Peter 3, "by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was of repairing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water." But, you know, so there was something else. The astonishing long-suffering of God. I mean, it was amazing in the days of Noah. You know, Noah preaching 100 years, more than 100 years, to that crowd, and getting no one to repent. And yet, Jesus Christ, you know, it tells us, just coming back, but in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it tells us in verse 8, Ephesians 4, verse 8, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." There was more that Jesus did those 3 days and those 3 nights when he was in the belly of the earth. There was some work that he was doing. And it says in verse 9 here in Ephesians 4, "Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." See, he was going down to the lower parts of the earth. And this is quite interesting. Yes, the place where the doomed are, as it tells us in other places, including Psalm 63, he went there because he was going to give them a window of hope. Oh, yes, I don't know their response. I don't know what happened. But it tells us, "By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." And here, yes, in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, for this cause of the gospel preach also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to man in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." So he went to them to present himself, that they might have that opportunity to recognize him and to bow the knee and to acknowledge him. I tell you what, tremendous mercy from God. Oh, yes, what he has done. Oh, and we certainly could never praise him enough for what he has done for us. And you know how he set the captives free and gave deliverance to them that were bound. Oh, praise the Lord. Making opportunity that all might give their hearts to the Lord. I'll tell you what, people sometimes come out with, you know, "Well, what if, you know, what about those people that never heard?" You know, and they'll make it sound like, well, you know, God, you know, He's not going to judge them. He's not going to send them to hell. Well, I'll tell you what, God is righteous. And he's going to do everything according to his righteous judgment. But he does give opportunity. He gave wicked old Jezebel space to repent. It tells us in Titus, the second chapter, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior, Jesus Christ." Oh, he is a righteous God. And, oh, you know, he's going to judge everything appropriately according to what he knows. We know so little of ourselves, but God knows far more. I've seen him intervene in lives at the very end of their lives. Oh my, you know, I've seen him do it. Oh, you know, I had the wonderful privilege of praying with some people at the very end. In particular, just never forget, it was, I think, a Sunday one day, and a request had been made from a young man, I believe he was in California, that I would pray for his dying father. I remember, yes, I went into the little room back there and called this man. And he was in the hospital with his father, who was dying, I would say. And I'll tell you what, this man was far gone in so many ways. He couldn't speak. He couldn't even open up his eyes. But, you know, the Lord gave me words, and I began to pray for him. And his son put the speaker over by this man. And, you know, the Lord used me, I believe. He gave me words. And, you know, later I heard what the Lord did. This man who could not even open up his eyes, he was so far gone. But the son said, he saw tears coming out of those eyes as I prayed with this man. And as I minister to him the good things of God, telling him of Jesus Christ. And oh, he said there were tears in his dad's eyes. And he said he could see his countenance changing. Oh, yes, I prayed for this man. Oh, God is so merciful. He is the righteous judge. He can do all things. And you know, that man died that night. But praise the Lord had mercy. The Lord intervened in his life. And we don't know all the little things that happen. You know, we prayed for a lot of people who were dying. And we don't know what God did. But oh yes, the Lord has great mercy and great compassion. Oh yes, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Colossians, the first chapter. Oh my, it says in verse 21 here in Colossians, the first chapter. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He didn't take us because we were so good. You know, because we had money, because we had prestige, because, you know, we lived in a good neighborhood, and all those kind of things. God has no thinking like that at all, because we were a certain nationality or race or creed or something or something or something. No, it wasn't that at all. Oh, sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you again. This is why we go some through these things here on earth, that he might present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, oh, without any doubt. Oh, that we are blameless and just nothing that anybody could say that would defile us or make us impure. And then he says, if ye continue in the faith, oh, yes, always to go on, always to continue. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I don't know. God knows how to get that message across. Oh my, I don't understand it. I don't see. I know that the gospel message must be preached to every nation for the coming of the Lord. And I believe God's working on that right now. Perhaps it is in every nation, for all I know. But the Lord knows, oh, how to rescue his people. Praise the Lord, that gospel that was preached to every creature under heaven. Praise the Lord, God knows how to do it. Praise the Lord. Back here in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, tells us in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And you know, he's saying that, you know, almost 2,000 years ago, or maybe 2,000 years ago, he's telling them then that the end of all things was at hand, and that need to be sober and to watch unto prayer. How about us right now? Oh, as we see all these signs unfolding. Oh, yes, the work of the enemy. Oh, yes, as he tries to trample. Oh, yes, to bring about his one world. All these kind of things that are going on at this very moment. How needful is it of us to be sober and to watch unto prayer? Then verse 8 says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. Oh, he loved us so much. His charity was so great for us that he died that our sins might be covered in his blood. He died for us. But then, oh yes, he made a way that, oh, he would transform his people. If we look briefly at 2 Peter, the first chapter, it tells us in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. It's emphasized again and again, isn't it? That need for us to be those new creatures in Christ, the divine nature. Praise the Lord. That ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All those things that we were bound in at one point. And then as we grow in the Lord, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, that means our very best effort. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. See, there's a growth pattern. When we come to the Lord, we have to have faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So you're not going to even be able to approach God without faith. But we come with that faith to the Lord, and then we begin to add to it as He begins to work in our heart to change us. Oh, yes, to make us after His divine nature. Oh, yes, we begin to add virtue. And then to virtue, knowledge. All the knowledge of His Word. And then, oh yes, it begins to temper us. We add temperance. Oh yes, and to temperance, patience. To patience, godliness, it says. And then to godliness. Oh my, we're growing in the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity is the love that Jesus Christ had for us. Charity is a love that gives without expecting anything in return. That's what agape, charity love is. And it's a part of our growth process that we can put on charity. And it tells us in verse 8 here in 2 Peter the first chapter, for if these things be in you, these traits, these characteristics, this growth that is being described here in 2 Peter, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's how we become bountiful. That's how, yes, we become fruitful in the eyes of our Lord by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, by allowing Him to transform us by the renewing of our minds that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All those things that we would be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Oh, this is how we make our calling and election sure. It says, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Oh, praise the Lord, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ to be partakers of the divine nature. Oh, yes, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, that's how we grow in the Lord. Oh, yes, it is back here in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and above all things, verse 8. Above all things, have fervent, oh, strong charity, a love among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. If you've advanced to that place in the Lord, you're not going to be full of willful disobedience and sin, are you? No. And then characteristics, manifestations of that charity. It says in verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging, without complaining, without resentment. And every man hath received the gift. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Oh, that word minister means to serve and to help. And here we are, we're members in particular of the body of Christ. We're all a part of the body of Christ, and we're all part of that composite. The Lord puts us together to complete His body. We all have different abilities and, you know, different ways of thinking, but together, when we're in the Lord, that is, you know, He can use it for His purpose, and so we can all minister, we can all serve, we can all help the same one to another. And it says, as good stewards. Oh, a steward is someone who manages a household or some kind of business or is put in charge of others and is in charge of all the undertakings thereof. But He makes us stewards of the gospel, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Oh, yes, we want to be accounted worthy. Oh, yes, there is that day that's coming, that great accounting day. Jesus spoke of it so often, it seems like in His parables. Oh, yes, that need. Oh, yes, to be going about doing our Father's will. And as He told us in the 19th chapter of Luke, verse 12, He talks about a certain nobleman that went into a far country to receive for Himself a kingdom, and that He was going to return. Well, Jesus is talking about Himself. He knew that He wasn't going to be with, you know, those that were on earth at that time forever. He wasn't going to be with His disciples forever. But He was establishing a kingdom. It was a kingdom that would be everlasting. But, you know, when that kingdom was complete, Jesus Christ was going to return. Oh, yes, as He told them, you know, as they were gazing up into heaven after He had ascended, you know, and then those two angels robed in white came back to respond and told those that were gazing up into heaven, this same Jesus, oh, which you have observed go into heaven. Oh, yes, as you had the same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. This same Jesus, He's coming back. And so He's telling this story here in Luke 19 of, yes, the nobleman, yes, who is going to go into a far country to receive for Himself a kingdom and then to return. But while He was gone, He had servants. He talks about 10 servants here in this situation, in this example. And He gave each of them a pound. And He told them to occupy till I come. Oh, yes, He was telling them to use that pound, to invest it, to do something with what had been given them. And we know that the citizens over that area didn't like Him. They didn't like His servants, I would assume. And they sent a message after Him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Oh, yes, Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. That's right, His own people rejected Him. But, you know, Jesus told this story saying that when it was time, when He had received the kingdom, that He was coming back. And at that point, it was time for them to give an account of how they had spent that pound that He had given them. And the first servant said that, yes, Lord, Thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And the Lord commended him, said, well, a good servant, because thou hast been faithful in the very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second one came and said, Lord, Thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he too was commended. And he was told, be thou Lord over 5 cities. But there was one who came and said, Lord, here's your pound. Here's your pound back. But I kept it. I kept it laid up in a napkin. He said, for I feared thee because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down and reapest that thou didst not so. Oh, I tell you what. Oh, there wasn't too much happiness with that nobleman. He said, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? Oh, what I see here. He told them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Oh, I tell you what, I believe the Lord is telling us that need to occupy until he comes, to invest in his kingdom of God. Whatever he has given us, little or much, we need to invest it in his kingdom. We need to occupy until he comes. There's something that we can all do as servants of the Most High God. There's a job for each and every one of us to do. I believe that's what Peter was talking about here in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of a manifold grace of God. Oh, we invest into the kingdom of God as a good steward, doing what we can so we will be profitable servants when he comes that day when it's accounting time. Verse 11 explains, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, as the mouthpiece of God. If any man minister, and minister again, it means to serve or to help. If any man minister, and we're all ministers, we're all servants of the Lord Jesus, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, yes, as God's children, as his mouthpiece, if we speak, or as we minister, to do it with the ability that he gave us so that Jesus Christ might be glorified through what we have done, through our efforts, and yes, that we might also be accounted worthy as his servants. And then the rest of this chapter, it says in verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Oh, you know, this is not a natural response. It's pretty hard sometimes, you know, and oh, beat up maybe like Paul and Silas there in that jailhouse there, Philippi. Oh, their backs all bruised and bleeding, and there they were and put in the prison without a cause for preaching the gospel. But oh, praise the Lord, something happened, and then they began to realize, oh, that they could rejoice in Christ Jesus, that they were counted worthy to suffer with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And we know the story there in the 16th chapter of Acts, how they begin at midnight to pray and to sing praises unto God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it was a sacrifice, a praise that they were giving unto the Lord. But oh, it was pleasing, well pleasing unto the Lord. And he heard that. Oh, praise the Lord, he sent an earthquake. Oh, yes, and that prison was shaken. Oh, yes, and those chains that bound them were released. Oh, yes, praise the Lord, and the Lord worked it out. So that jailer and his household was saved that very night. Oh, praise the Lord. What happens when we give it all over to the Lord? What happens when we get to sing praises with all our heart, to worship him in spite of, oh, yes, all the raunchy things that happened, all the painful things, oh yes, all those things we had to endure. It says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. but rather it tells you, but rejoice. Insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Wow, that moment, that accounting time. Oh yes, to be glad it is coming and to have exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Oh, that's contrary to the way that we think in the flesh. If you be scorned, if you be ridiculed, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Oh, we glorify God through the fires, through the tribulations, through those hard things. Oh, he's refining us. He's trying to get us to be in that place. Oh, yes, so that we can be accounted worthy when we stand before him. That day when we give an account, that he might be glorified on our part. Oh, yes, the life of Jesus Christ might shine through us. Oh, yes, through our countenance. And oh, yes, that, you know, oh, we might be partakers even of his suffering. But then it's told us in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's business. No, none of those things of the flesh. No, not it let it once be named among you. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Oh, our suffering is but for a little time, you know. And one day this is all going to be over. But it tells us, for the time is coming that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Oh, tell you what, it's going to be a dreadful thing to stand before the Lord and not have those sins washed away, not having been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's the counting day, and oh, yes. Oh, we know that God is coming to judge. He's coming with anger. He's coming to revenge. Oh, yes, things are going to change. And knowing the terror of God, we persuade men, as Paul wrote. Oh, I'll tell you what. Oh, it's coming. It tells us in Hebrews, the second chapter. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Oh, that question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And here the warning in 1 Peter that the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And God does judge even in his own house. There's things that need to be cleaned out. There's things that need to be purified. Sometimes there's people that have wrong attitudes and bad motives, entirely bad motives, and that has to go. But if it begins at the house of the Lord, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And it explains that if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Oh, I tell you what, oh, yes, sometimes, I don't know, I know, sometimes people are saved by the skin of their teeth, aren't they? Oh, my, and we know, you know, we stand in jeopardy every hour, Paul wrote. We don't know sometimes how narrowly we escape the things of this world, the spirit of deception being so great as it is right now. Oh, yes, and the warning that, you know, if God did not shorten the days, that no flesh would be saved. This evil, ungodly time that we're living in, where deception, oh yes, has blinded the eyes of so many. So many can't see and they can't tell. The gospel has, been altered, has been changed, has been perverted. Oh yes, all kinds of things are acceptable. People are living in sin and thinking that they're right with God, thinking that they're going to go to heaven. But oh my, it's not going to work. Oh yes, that great accounting day is going to be here. One of these days, this life here on earth, this time on earth is going to be over. But praise the Lord, we want to be those that are counted worthy. Oh yes, I can stand before God having gained some fruit. Oh yes. Having been partakers of the kingdom of God. And oh yes, those that have been going about and doing our Father's will, whatever He gave to us, whatever charge He gave to us, whatever ability He gave to us, oh yes, by His grace and by His mercy, we can do it. But you know, if we suffer as a Christian, it says, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And it tells us in this very last verse here, 1 Peter 4, verse 19, wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, yes, it's true. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Lord uses that. Oh, yes, to get us to be in that place that we can stand before Him and be accepted in His sight, that we might be accepted by God Almighty. And praise the Lord. We suffer according to the will of God. It's going to be okay. The Lord's going to give us grace. He's going to take us through that fiery trial. You know, He's going to give us the strength to withstand it. You know, He had promised, and He has promised, that He would be with us until the end of the world. He promised that He would not give us anything that we could not bear, but with the temptation He would make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. Oh, our God knows how to help us, how to give us an underlying strength that we would only have in Him. You know, you hear stories sometimes of people who have suffered greatly for the kingdom of God. You know, those that were even burned at the stake. You know, and as they were burning at the stake, you know, I know perhaps it was Tyndall or one of those earlier reformers, you know, who was, you know, he knew what they were going to do to him, and he told those, you know, that were Christians that, you know, if I don't feel those flames, he said something like, I'm going to raise my hands or something, you know, to indicate to them that he wasn't suffering. And you know, praise the Lord, yes, He gave that sign. And so it is, you know, our God, His grace, His mercy. You know, no matter what we have to suffer on this earth, He knows how to take us through. He knows how to soften the blows and how to give us strength at such moments where perhaps we wouldn't even feel the pain of it and the anguish. But know that, you know, I have a feeling that Stephen, that martyr, that first martyr of the early church when they stoned him, you know, I have a feeling, it was something that he could bear, that, you know, the hurt of those stones really didn't hurt like you would expect. But I think instead he saw that vision of Jesus and saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He had that vision of heaven. You know, God right there with him in that fiery trial, helping him, guiding him, taking him in, into those heavenly quarters. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to do that for each and every one of us. So wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Well, Paul said, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Oh, yes, those sins that we gave over to the Lord, those things that we turned over to God. Oh, yes, Paul was persuaded. Oh, yes, that God was able to keep those things that were committed. Oh, yes, the blood was applied in those things. Oh, yes, we're committed to God against that day. So, yes, we can stand before God with clean hearts, oh, with purity, hearing Him say, well done, enter into the joys of my God. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It's no wonder that, oh, they could say that, you know, if we have to suffer, that we could do it with exceeding joy. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I think I went here last week, but just as I end here, there in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And this, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Oh, praise the Lord, to rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Praise the Lord. You know, we're not looking on the things of this world, but we're looking on the things that are above. That's where our affections are. The affections are on things that are above and not on things on this earth when our life is truly given over to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So we can arm ourselves with that same mind and knowing that, oh yes, even if we do suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that, oh yes, there is an exceeding great reward that awaits for us. And we can do it rejoicing. Oh yes, knowing, yes, oh, that there is an end that is glorious. Oh yes, a great reward that awaits the children of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your precious promises. We thank you for what you did for us, oh Lord, that our sins might be forgiven. Oh Lord, that atonement that you paid for our sins, Lord, that we might be at one with you, Lord, and know you, Lord, and walk with you, and oh God, abide in you, Lord. Pray that you'd help us, Lord. Give us that strength and determination that we need. Help us, Lord, oh God, to continue to walk with you, Lord, and hold on to those things which you've given us, oh Lord, that we might receive a crown of life. Oh, yes, which the Lord has promised to all them that love him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that crown of life is promised to all them. Oh, yes, I believe. Yes, and live for him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our hymnals to number 59 and sing When We See Christ, number 59. Thank you. times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. Christ will soon appear to catch his bright away. Tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark, with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to Him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burden down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, this done in prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Thank you.